Our scripture this morning is Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and we'll be reading the first 21 verses of this chapter. Verses 5 through 10 will be my text. I will not be rereading those verses due to time, but please keep your Bibles open so that you follow what the Word of God is teaching in those verses. So 5 through 10 will be our text. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not. For I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there's no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me. the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So far, the reading of God's infallible, inerrant word. May he bless the preaching of it, and especially its verses 5 through 10, with the theme in verse 10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the central thought in this pericope of Scripture is that the Lord Jehovah will gather his elect, scattered people. The Lord Jehovah himself is going to gather the Zion of God from all ages, out of all the corners of the earth, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. He will gather his people and he will unite them into one whole. What a picture is given to us here of our great God and his continuing work. Gathering his church from all the nations of the world. Now, perhaps when I say all the nations of the world, you're thinking, well, that sounds more like foreign missions. You're a domestic missionary. But look around you. Look around at your own community. You see there the peoples of the world in our own communities. White, black, red, yellow, and every other color. Every different nationality and culture. And what a glorious work this is of the Lord, whether it's across the seas or here in our own communities. The Lord gathering the diversity of the peoples. There's a united faith in Jesus Christ. There's a unity in the church. But there is also a rich diversity, a wonderful diversity, which we can appreciate. Over against a building made up of all similar concrete blocks set next to each other. The picture of the church is that of a wall of different colored stone, different shapes and sizes, all fit together. That's the church of Jesus Christ that we pray for, that God gathers his people, his scattered people, from all the nations, tribes, and peoples of the world. Notice with me then the theme, God gathers his own. God gathers his own. Who gathers? How are they gathered? And then thirdly, the assurance for us. Who gathers, how he gathers, and the assurance for us. Notice with me in our pericope of Scripture that central thought then, how important it is when we talk about evangelism or mission work, our calling as a church. It's God's work. The gathering of God's people to himself is his own work. We find that, don't we, in verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give up. I will say to the south, hold not back. I will say, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. God gathers his church. He utters his voice. And in verse 6, we find these commands that he comes with. I will say, in that powerful voice, the nations have to let go. The north has to give up. The south may not keep back any of those who belong to God. He's going to gather them. Commands like the first day and the following 6 days of creation. When God commands and says, let there be light, there was light. When God commands the waters to give up, and out of the waters come the different creatures of the waters. And when God commands the earth to give up, there is the trees, there's the vegetation, there's the animals. God's sovereign, powerful voice and his word. So he makes these commands. What we have here is, in this chapter, the work of God in redemption as a work that is greater than his first work of creation, as wonderful as that work is. He commands and it is. It takes place. Things were formed by God in creation. And now in the greater work of than creation, redemption, God commands and his church is formed. Do you notice how this passage likens these two great works of God? We read in verse 1, don't we? Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel. And again we read in verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And again, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. Boys and girls, remember there on the sixth day of creation, when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. Well, that is God's work of forming his church. He gives new life to those who are dead in sin. He gives ears to hear and he gives eyes to behold. Wonderful things. God gathers his church. As that work in creation was the work of the triune God. God the Father creating, Psalm 33, verse 6, the Word forming, all things made by the Word of God and the Spirit hovering over the waters. So God also forms his work. It's a triune work. God choosing, having chosen his people, redeeming them by the blood of Jesus Christ and indwelling them with his Holy Spirit. God says, I will bring thy seed from the east. Who is this seed? It is God who is gathering. And Israel for a long time believed that they were the only people of God. They did not understand the blessing that was given to Abraham, did they? And especially in Jesus' day, there were those who would say, I am from Abraham because of a physical descent. Who is this seed of Jacob and of Israel? And we read the correct answer in Romans chapter 9, don't we? Romans chapter 9, we read there in verses 24 through 26, even us. Whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles, as he saith in Osee, boys and girls, that's another word for Hosea. I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said of them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So God calls this seed of Jacob and of Israel from the Jews and from the Gentiles. What a beautiful thing it is. How is it that they are called? How is it that you and I are called as children of Jacob and Israel, seed? And we read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Yes, by faith alone. Let's hear that this Reformation weekend. By faith alone. We are children of Abraham. The end of that chapter, so often misused today by the modern church. Verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It is by faith alone in Christ Jesus alone that we are the people of God. That seed that was promised to Abraham, that he would be a blessing to all nations. And notice what he calls us. Verse 6. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Sons and daughters. Quite often in the scripture, only the males are referred to because the females were subsumed underneath their fathers and then their husbands. But here the clarity of God's word, sons and daughters. That's your and my identity. We need to hang on to that identity. How often don't we look at our identity at where we live, what kind of occupation we have, what kind of a car we drive, what house or neighborhood we live in? And all those things are fine, but is that your true identity? You see, all those things will pass away. They don't follow you in the coffin. What is our identity when you identify yourself to another neighbor? Is it, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of Jehovah by grace? What a powerful identity to hang on to when Satan accuses us of our sins and our conscience accuses us. I'm not worthy. And then God's word comes and says, my son, my daughter, I've called thee by name, thou art mine. What a beautiful identity to remind ourselves and to let others know who we are, sons and daughters of God. And now these sons are from afar. These daughters are from the ends of the earth. Picture there, of course, by Isaiah is, first of all, Israel, as they're going to be scattered into the nations. The 10 tribes already scattered, and soon Judah also would be taken into Babylon. And how Israel and Judah are a picture of us. By nature in captivity, by nature of this world and sin and death. But the power of sin and death cannot hold us because God makes a command and he says, give up. Hold not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the world. How are you and I sons and daughters of God? And beloved, it's by divine election. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He says, I will bring thy seed from the east and from the west. I will gather them. Yes, by sovereign election, we are those adopted sons and daughters of God by his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, known and loved by God in eternity. But now in time, verse 1, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee. Thou art mine. It is God who gathers his own sons and daughters into the church of Jesus Christ. How are they gathered? How are they gathered? Well, we already said in the first point, didn't we, that it is God who gathers, and he gathers by his powerful, effectual word. I will say, he says, by that word of God, the heavens and the earth were created. By that word of God, the church is created. By that word incarnate, they are redeemed. They are set free from their spiritual death and captivity. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, called and gathered by the Holy Spirit. So that word of God goes forth, and his sons and daughters are gathered into his church and saved. And do you hear that word of God? How do we hear that word of God as it gathers and builds his church? And that's verse 10, through his witnesses. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Throughout the Old Testament, that voice of God was heard by God's people through the prophets that came to them, through the different symbols, ceremonies. How do we hear that word today? It is through witnesses. I want you to notice, first of all, that the word is plural. Witnesses. He's saying to God's people, to Israel of old, the church of the Old Testament, and still to the church today, ye are my witnesses. There are those who would take verse 10 and apply it only to preachers, and it's wrong. It is to the congregation, it is to the people of God, he says, witnesses. Together they are his servant whom he has chosen. There's a second thing I want you to notice from verse 10. He says, ye are my witnesses. My witnesses over against verse 9. Where the nations around us, the peoples around us outside of the church, also have their witnesses. What we have pictured in verses 9 and 10 is really the whole confrontation of the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel. On Mount Carmel, there were the 450 prophets of Baal, or priests of Baal. They said, Baal is God. Worship him. Boys and girls, you remember that, don't you? There was going to be a contest. Who is the true saving God? And so the 450 prophets of Baal erect an altar. The wood is there, the sacrifice is there, but they need the fire. And they cry out to Baal that he'll send down fire. And they cry out, they yell. It's a really beautiful passage in God's word. Elijah has some fun with them, doesn't he? Elijah says, well, cry a little louder because perhaps your God is on vacation. Perhaps he's sleeping. And so they cry out louder. They cut themselves. And this goes on for some time. There's no fire. And over against all their hoopla, Elijah has his sacrifice ready. And he puts water over everything. It's drenched with water. And he says a simple little prayer. Jehovah, show thyself that thou art God. And fire comes down from heaven. And Israel responds, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Well, that's what we're reading in verse 9. There are the witnesses of the nations. They say that it is gold and silver and money and position. Those are the gods that we should attain to. We should seek. Can those false gods give life, give beauty, give health, give salvation? Let the nations justify themselves, and if not, let them hear and say, when they hear God's witness, it is true. That's what took place on Mount Carmel that time. The people had been serving Baals, but after that demonstration, after the witness of Elijah, they said, Jehovah, he is God. Well, that may that same thing be true today. No, the gods of the nations might not be gold or silver or wood or stone, but they are position. It is honor. It's the kind of house you live in. It's the kind of car you drive. It's the position that you have in society. Those things, they say, will make you happy. But do they make you happy? Some of the richest people in such misery that they commit suicide. Oh, the nations might say their gods will give you these things. But let them hear now God's witnesses who say there is only one true saving God who gives life and beauty and health and salvation. My witnesses, verse 10, ye are my witnesses. That means that it is God and God alone who authorizes and sends them. And God authorizes us as his church to be his witnesses by anointing us with his Spirit. So that each one of us, every one of us as believers, are prophets. That is individually, but collectively we also are his witnesses through our preacher on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, from house to house, through missionaries bringing that word of God. Ye are my witnesses. That's how God's voice is heard, commanding the east and the west and the north and the south to give up, to hold not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Beloved, that is a powerful witness. It's a powerful witness because it's the purpose of our election, isn't it? We are chosen that we might witness to God and be his servant in this world. We read that in our passage, Isaiah 43, verse 7. I have created him for my glory. I've formed him, yea, I've made him. And again, Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Isn't that what Peter is writing in 1 and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now the purpose, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The purpose, beloved, of our election, of our redemption, is that we may show forth the praises, the glory of our God to all those around us. We can do that because to us has been given that knowledge of him. It is only the knowledge of God that is the possession of those whom he has chosen. Fruit of divine election, a gift of God's free grace. How important are these witnesses? What does Luke say as he begins his gospel? Luke 1, verse 2, from the beginning we were eyewitnesses. Or again, Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter's there talking about how Peter, James, and John were there on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw that great glory of Jesus as he's surrounded by Moses and Elijah. Boys and girls, why was it that Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, remained around for 40 days here on earth yet? And the answer was that there would be witnesses Over 500 witnesses that Jesus is truly the living Savior, raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. So God's word comes to us this morning. He says, ye are my witnesses, verse 10. Or again, verse 12, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. What is a witness? And there's at least two important ideas in that word witness. First of all, a witness is that person who has seen and has heard. One who has seen and has heard. Verse 8 in Isaiah 43. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Those who are witnesses are those who have been given eyes and have been given ears to hear, who were by nature blind and deaf. In a court of law, it is not allowed to have hearsay. I heard someone else talk about it, and this is what took place. A witness is one who has seen and has heard and therefore knows. God says to his Old Testament church, you are my witnesses. They have seen for themselves that there is one God who is able to save them. And pictured in our passage is that mighty redemption out of Egypt through the Red Sea. God's care for them all through the wilderness wanderings, his giving them the land of Canaan, defeating all their enemies. They saw powerfully the work of God. In the New Testament, the disciples are witnesses. They are able to write what they have heard with their ears and they saw with their eyes. And they write it down. So the question comes now, if this is intended to us, a witness is one who sees and hears. How do we see and how do we hear Christ Jesus? I don't hear any voices coming down from heaven. You and I hear Christ, beloved. Every time your pastors in the past and other pastors that fill the pulpit, and the Lord willing, a new pastor that the Lord will give you, every time the pastor opens up God's word and preaches it faithfully, you hear Christ through the preaching. The man that you are going to call later on today is only the instrument. But every Sunday morning and evening, you hear Christ himself. When the preacher faithfully opens up the scriptures and preaches it. And you see Christ. You see Christ as he is set forth in the scriptures, the only Savior. So often we might think in our own mind, it would be wonderful if only I were alive when Jesus was here on earth and I could sit down with him, I could ask him about this family matter that I'm dealing with or this temptation I'm going through or this decision I have to make. Was that really advantageous? You see, while the disciples were with Jesus every day, before Pentecost, they didn't understand many of the things that Jesus was talking about, especially when it came to his necessary death in Jerusalem. You and I, after Pentecost, have the scriptures all written out for us. And we are given the Holy Spirit. And with the word in front of us and in prayers, we are with Christ Jesus. We see and we hear and therefore we know. That means, beloved, that we can be faithful witnesses then only as we sit underneath the word that is preached week after week, morning and evening. We need to hear Christ. We need to see Christ as he's set forth in the scriptures. Only as we see and we hear Christ himself can we know. He says, you are my anointed, my authorized witnesses. So that's the first element of witness, that they see and they hear for themselves. And then second of all, the second element of a witness is they now speak. They go forth and tell. They declare. They make known. They testify of what they have seen and they have heard. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, a more sure word of prophecy we have. He says, it's a wonderful thing that we saw his glory there on the Mount of Transfiguration, but because the Holy Spirit was poured out, we have now a more sure word of prophecy. Ye are my witnesses. That means that God has put us in a position to testify of all the things of God, that there is one true saving God, who saves by Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. And we know that through the scriptures. Ye are my witnesses, individually, as believers. Oh, fathers, mothers, be those prophets in the home to your children. Be those prophets of Jehovah God at work in the community that you live in. When you speak of the hope that's within you, when you live an antithetical life that causes others to ask you of the hope that's within you, individually, we are witnesses, Jehovah's witnesses, and collectively, as a church, as that word is preached from week to week, as Bible studies are started in the community, as you send forth missionaries at home and abroad. And what is the content of our witness? We sang, didn't we, in Psalter number 258, the message of redemption. The message of our witness is there is one true saving God. Oh, there are many other gods that are created by the nations and even attempt to arise in our own hearts. Materialism, position, glory, honor. There is one true saving God, Jehovah. That means that all the gods of the nations and the gods that attempt to sit on the throne of our heart are false gods, impotent to save. The one true saving God saves powerfully, effectually, through the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. The message of our witness is that we are saved by faith alone in him, not our works. How we need that message today. Saved by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ Jesus alone. We are saved in order to live for his glory, for his praises. The life that we live is for him. He's our Lord as well as our Savior. The content of our redemption, the content of our conversations daily should be redemption, 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 redemption. I'm redeemed by Jehovah God through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit within. Beloved, that is an inevitable witness. It is an inevitable witness because what is in our heart comes to our lips. We cannot remain silent. That which we have seen and we have heard, we know. And now in faith, in joy for what we've received, in love for our God and love for our neighbor, we cannot remain silent. In the home, there are so many things that threaten to take up our time. Do we speak to our children? Do we speak to our spouses of the hope that's within us, of the great God that we serve? Is that the topic of our conversations when we come together as God's people? Not, first of all, our vacations and this or that, but who we are, what we've been made, what God has done. When I'm teaching a Bible study down in Door, we're working through the book of John. In the Gospel of John, Andrew and John leave John the Baptist and they follow Jesus. They spend the day with Jesus. And immediately we read the first thing that Andrew does then is he goes and he finds his brother Simon. Why is that the first thing? Because what he has heard and what he has seen, he must now witness. He wants Simon also to know. And he says, we found the Messiah. Our witness is an inevitable witness. It is a necessary witness. Not, first of all, now because we have an imperative here. Know the passage, Isaiah 43 does not say, go out and witness, but rather it makes a declaration, doesn't it? Verse 10 and 12 says, ye are my witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. Commanded and authorized by God himself. What a position he puts his church in. Being that light in the world. But of course, along with the word that comes out of our mouth, there has to be the life that is lived with it, doesn't it? It means we are his witnesses by our antithetical lives in this world. If we speak like the world, if we act like the world, they're not going to ask us, what is the hope that is within you? But when we live as God's children in the midst of this world, then our life will back up with what we say with our lips. We serve one living God who saves through Jesus Christ alone. After Jesus was taken into heaven, the disciples found persecution by the authorities. Those enemies of Jesus took them in, put them in prison. But there's a very important point that the enemies looked at these disciples of Jesus, and we read, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. May the world that we live in be able to take note when they observe us, when they hear us. May they take note that we have been with Jesus today, right now. So Monday through Saturday, as they observe our activities, our behavior, our words, may they be able to say they have been with Jesus. You say, but I don't know if I can witness. I'm afraid to speak. Moses said that too, didn't he? When Jesus talked to his disciples, he says, don't be afraid of what you're going to say. Don't think about it. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. You've noticed that at times, haven't you? You're in the hospital or at the funeral home. You've gone through a tragedy. Someone asks you, how can you be so upbeat? How do you go through this tragedy? And God gives you the words to speak. I believe in God. I believe he is good. I believe that he works all things for good. I don't understand it. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. Ye are my witnesses. We read in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 through 5. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, that same seed that God has gathered. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. And one will say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. What a calling you and I have. God has placed you here in Hudsonville. Here so that you may declare, I'm of God. I'm a son and I'm a daughter of Jehovah God by grace through Jesus Christ, his beloved son. Ye are my witnesses. That's how the word that God gathers his own from the nations, the tribes, the cultures of the world. Now, notice thirdly with me, briefly, the assurance for us. Why is this such assurance that it is God who gathers and builds his church through our witness? You'll notice that in chapter 43, verse 1, he says, fear not, I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Again, verse 5. The beginning of our text. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed. We are afraid many times, aren't we? We're afraid because by a godly witness, yes, there are some that will be saved. But by our godly witness, we can also expect persecution, ridicule, hatred. Especially in these last days, it's increasing. When Abel witnessed to his brother Cain, what did it get him? He was killed. When Enoch witnessed to the evil generation that he lived in, it became so intolerable for him that the Lord took him. When Noah preached as a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, what did it get him? Ridicule. And only 8 are saved by the flood. When Jeremiah witnessed to apostate Israel, what did he get him? They threw him into a mud pit, a well, to die. When Jesus witnessed to his generation, they put him on a cross. When Stephen witnessed, they stoned him. Fear not, I'm with thee. I've redeemed thee. But we need not only fear what the world can do to us. They can hurt our bodies, yes, but they cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But we fear not only what others can do to us, but fear not our own self. Do I want to do this? Do I dare to do this? I've heard of some churches that refuse to put their sermons on sermon audio because they're afraid of what the government or those who don't like the Christian message will do to them. Do you think the world is going to like the message that they hear? No, persecution is only going to increase. I fear at times because my thoughts are so often turned away from the truth of God to other things. So that I do not see and I do not hear, and then I do not trust as I ought. We need the assurance of the power of God's word. God says, I will gather, ye are my witnesses. And now look at verse 13. God says, there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I'm going to call from the east, I'm going to call from the west, I'm going to call from the north, I'm going to call from the south. They're going to give them up. No one can deliver God's own, his elect, from him. He uses means, he uses our witness. And now, especially the end of verse 13, I will work, and who shall let it? Boys and girls, that's an old language. who will let it. What it means is, who is going to prevent it? Who's going to hinder it? Who's going to stop or turn aside that work? God is working. God is working through the witness of his church, individually and collectively through preachers and missionaries. And no one is able to prevent that great gathering of his people until the day that Jesus comes again. Verse 16 and 19, thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path to the mighty waters. As the Lord led Israel out of Egypt through those waters, so the Lord is going to gather his people from all the nations. Nothing is going to stop them. No Pharaoh's in the way. Verse 19, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. We're talking about Pentecost here, aren't we? Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In the wilderness, there was nothing to eat, but God gave manna from heaven and he gave water out of a rock. God causes the desert, which is usually dry and can produce nothing, to flower. That is God's promise to the church. Believe him. Trust him. He says, I will gather. You are my witnesses. Nothing is going to stop my work, but it's going to prosper. There's going to be fruit upon my labors. Ye are my witnesses. Boys and girls, by my condo, I have solar lights by the sidewalk. Those solar lights can give light at night in the darkness only if they are out in the sunshine during the day, so that they reflect that energy in the evening. You and I can be the light of the world only as we gather in the light of God's word. Only as we see and we hear Christ in the preaching of the word, Sunday morning, Sunday night, in our devotions, can we then speak and be these witnesses and let our light shine. Ye are my witnesses individually, in our homes, at work, in our neighborhoods, Bible studies. Collectively, every Sunday morning and evening, in missions, God says, I will gather my own. Give up, hold not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. To God be the glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this encouraging message that we are, by grace, thy witnesses, authorized by thee, equipped by thee, to bring thy word to a sinful, needy world. And through that word preached, we pray that Jesus Christ will be pleased to continue to gather and to build and preserve his church till he comes again. Amen.